Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship this morning. We're going to sing a pre-service song. You may have noticed that we have no pianist this morning, so all the accompaniment is going to be done from the sound desk. So Mike said, if there's any problems, if you could just turn around and stare at him, because he would appreciate that. But I'm sure there won't be. But we've chosen to sing for pre-service a Christmas song, actually. But it's talking about adoring the Lord, and that's equally true after Christmas as at Christmas. So Graeme Kendrick's Adore.
Morning, everyone. We're carrying on with the theme that comes through on the lectionary. As I said, I think maybe Guy's already said about the singing I sing, and that's how you're aware of it. So let's go for the first one, shall we? Let's go for the first one. Over a thousand tongues to sing.
All for a thousand tongues to sing thy great Redeemer's praise, thy great Redeemer's praise. The glories of thy God and King, the triumphs of his grace, the triumphs of his grace, the triumphs of his grace, the triumphs of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace, 'tis life and health and peace, 'tis life and health and peace. His life and health and peace. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me, his blood availed for me, his blood availed for me, his blood availed for me. In him he death, his praise ye done, your loosened tongues employ, your loosened. For joy, and leap ye lame for joy, and leap ye lame for joy, and leap ye lame for joy. See all your sins on Jesus laid, the Lamb of God was slain, the Lamb. Soul of man, for every soul of man, for every soul of man, for every soul of man. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim,
take a breath. It's a great one for people with asthma. Let's come to God in prayer. Lord, we have come to thank you for the multitude of grace gifts that flow from your hands. From the beginning, it was your purpose that we should know and love you. When you granted us the gift of life, it was in order that we might experience the fullness of joy that comes from walking step by step, day by day, in the presence of our living God. Lord, we are overwhelmed with gratitude that it is impossible to put into mere words, and that thankfulness springs from the very depths of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you have given our lives a purpose vast and wide, hope that alone finds its fulfillment in the grace-filled majesty and holiness. It seems almost too simple a thing to say thank you, and it seems an injustice to your glory to sing your praise. But you delight in our love, and you rejoice in our worship. By your Holy Spirit, our words are filled with your glory, and our praises are lifted to your throne of grace. We bring our thanks and our praise in Jesus' name, the source of your grace and the reason for our thanksgiving. Amen. We thank you, Lord, but as we come into your presence, we are made more aware of the things that we've done wrong. There have been times when you have called us into action, and through our own goals and desires, we have been too lazy to step up. There have been times, Lord, when you've called us to speak your words of grace and love to others, but we've been too busy, too tied up with our own agendas. There have been times, Lord, when we have spoken and acted as if you weren't our Saviour. The words we have said would not have been your words, and our actions we want to hide from you. And all too often, Lord, our thoughts have not been your thoughts. We are truly sorry, Lord. Sorry that we've let you down, that we've not been the people you called us to be. But we hear your words of grace and love to us, that even you know all about this, all that we have done, said, and thought, you still love us. And so, Lord, we give you thanks that by the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, on that cross, the power of sin in our lives was taken away. That slate has been wiped clean. As far as the east is from the west is how far our sins have been removed. We don't deserve it, but you did it because you love us. And so with humble, thankful hearts, Lord, we hear your words of grace to us today, that our sins are forgiven, and we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us, the multitude of gifts that you've given to us, and we have returned to you a gift of money, just a small token of our love for you, Lord. These are our widow's mites. But we pray, Lord, that you will use them for your furtherance of your kingdom. We ask that you will give wisdom to those who choose how this money should be spent. And we pray, Lord, that through the use of this money that we have given, along with our lives, that your kingdom may come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing again. In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, under the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when
One thing I've noticed as I get older is my memory's not as good as it should be, and sometimes not as good as it needs to be. So how good's your memory? So let me do a little test. Can you remember things that happened in this country 10 years ago? Well, 10 years ago was Brexit. Did you remember that? 10 years ago were when Donald Trump became US president for the first time. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Shame that wasn't the only time, isn't it? What about 20 years ago? Can you remember what was happening 20 years ago? You were 18. You lucky, lucky boy. I don't even remember being 18. Tony Blair was the Prime Minister in 2006 for the last time before he stepped down. For those football fans, Steve McClaren became England football manager because Sven-Göran Eriksson had stepped down. And for those of you who like to travel internationally, 20 years ago was the first flights of the A380 Airbus. Okay, that was the easy part. What about 70 years ago? Yeah, yeah. What about those of you who were here 70 years ago? You were thinking about getting married? Yeah. Were you thinking about getting married, Shirley?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all right. That's good. To each other? Okay. 70 years ago was the time of the Suez Crisis. Hancock's Half Hour was just being debuted on the TV. Macmillan had just introduced the premium bond scheme. Grace Kelly married Prince Rainier of Monaco. And for those of you who like Eurovision, that was the year when Eurovision started in Switzerland. That's all big international. What about Whitney? What about Whitney? Can we have a slide? Does anyone remember this? Does anyone know where it is? Yeah. It's actually Corn Street. Yeah, Corn Street. Yeah, I didn't know where that was Corn Street because I'm not that old. This was Corn Street in 1972, before it got demolished. What about the next one? This is a bit older, but some of you might remember it. So this was the first cinema in Whitney. It actually opened in 1913, so I don't suppose any of you remember that. I don't know when it closed. What about the next one? It's a corn exchange. That's what the corn exchange looked like in 1974. Now, this one you won't remember, but maybe you heard the stories of it. The next one. So that was in 1918, a German biplane was set up in the market square. Did anyone hear about that? No, wasn't told to anyone? What about the next one? Ah, now we're getting some recollection, aren't we? That was the BB band. And I joined the BB when it was called Life Boys. Have you got a Life Boy? No. And I remember those hats. And I remember those, and I even, as a bit later, remember when we used to go camping with the Boys Brigade? We used to parade from here, all the way up, in full uniform, all the way up to Church Green, then to get on a bus, in full uniform, drive all the way down to Portsmouth, unload the kit bags at Portsmouth, and then parade from Bembridge all the way to the campsite, in full uniform. You wouldn't get the youth to do it today. I'm not sure why we did it then. Do you remember when, you know, the motorist discount store across the road? It used to be a fishmonger's. Yeah, remember that? Yeah. Do you remember when Cadles used to have a toy shop up by Market Square? Yeah. Remember when the first Waitrose we had in Whitney was actually where the Woolgate, well, where the butcher's is for Woolgate, but the Woolgate didn't exist. It was just straight down there. You remember Oakshots used to be a grocery shop that's up by where the charity shop is and by the Buttercross. Do you remember when the Whitney Bypass was built? Yeah, I do. I remember when I used to play in the fields where Thorny Lees and Deer Park were built. So where Deer Park was built, there used to be a place called Dead Man's Island. We used to play there. It was a marshy, boggy area. They built houses on it now. Do you remember when there were no phones at home? Yeah? Well, if you wanted the phone, you had to go up to the phone box in the corner. Yeah? Yeah, I remember that. Do you remember when there was no colour telly? Yeah? Colour telly, yeah, I remember there was no colour. I remember my parents rented a colour television for Princess Anne's wedding. And they had the only colour television in the street. And all the neighbours came round to see it, the wedding in colour. You remember they used to rent your TVs from Radio Rentals, yeah? You remember when the Prudential man used to come round, yeah? And the Littlewoods Pool man used to come round and collect their money. Do you remember when Marriott's, the coal merchants, used to deliver 100-weight of coal into your coal bunker out the back? Yeah? Because we didn't have central heating. Yeah? And then you had to spark your time was to break it up from the big chunks that came in and put it in your coal kettle and get into it. Yeah? Remember those days? What about this church's memories? Let's see the next slide. You remember when High Street looked like this? Yeah? And the Boys Brigade used to meet in those huts on the right-hand side. That was High Street's parking back in those days, yeah? Good luck. Do you remember the next slide? Remember when High Street looked like this? No? Yeah? So basically, the door was there, and there was a foyer thing across there, and there was a balcony around it, and we were looking that way, yeah? And there was a big high pulpit. Yeah? Remember, the next one. This was during the development. Do you remember when that was? Sorry? Yeah, 1995. Look at the next one. This is when it was opened. Yeah, remember those faces on there? That's when it was opened, in 1995. People that we don't... Cliff Upex is on there, is it? Now, people remember Cliff Upex? Yeah, he's on there, I think. Okay. Is there another one? I can't remember. No? Is there another one? Oh, yes. Huh? You remember this? This is when Songs of Praise came to Whitney in 2009, I believe. Things I remember of High Street. I used to go to the Radford Room for coffee on a Saturday morning. And Jack Roon would be sitting there. Yeah? Yeah? Every week Jack Roon would be sitting there reading his paper, wouldn't he? That was Jack Roon, who all of his life never left Whitney until he retired. Then he went on a Royal Cruise, didn't he? I think it's... I remember Bert Edmonds. Yeah? Ray Cripps. I remember past ministers. Guy Stanford. Remember Guy Stanford? I remember Guy Stanford because he came to Boys Brigade camp with us. Bernie Binnington. Do you remember Bernie Binnington? Love is something if you give it away. That was his favourite song. He used to sit on the piano and play that. That was like his march. It was like he'd come into that song, you know? Cecil Smith. Ian Lunn. Stainer Smith. What do you remember of the past? The good old days. The good old days. Right, it's time for a break. You've listened for me long enough. Time for a break. But I've got to set you a question. I've lost the question now. I'm going to lose the question. Ooh, I'm losing everything up here. It's all falling apart. Okay, so it's coffee time. It's coffee time. I've got one question or two. It's up to you. What you do. So with your neighbour, I want you to consider this. If you were now to be taken away in exile, if you were now taken in exile to a far-off country, what memories would you hold on to? Or what do you hope for 2026? Right, let's give out some biscuits. Now, who's gluten-free? I mean, not physically gluten-free, but who's gluten-free? Is anyone gluten-free? No? Okay, that's fine. Okay. There's Jaffa cakes. I think they've got to go to that way because they're dog. There's ginger nuts. Who likes ginger nuts? Anyone want ginger nuts? Yeah, ginger nuts. There's jammy dodgers. Anyone want jammy dodgers? Oh, some jammy dodgers there. Jammy dodgers there. Share them around there. That's fine. If you want to share them around there, that'd be good. I I don't know whether you're waiting to see what other biscuits come out, you know. There's milk chocolate digestives. There's shortbread. Who likes shortbread? There's a hand went up there. So remember, there's two questions. Sit next to someone, share the biscuits and have a chat. Okay, so the last ones are bourbons. Anyone bourbons? And there's custard creams. So the bourbons are going down here. Custard creams. Anyone custard creams? No one wants custard creams. Oh, yeah. I thought somebody must like custard creams, eh? Right. So remember the questions. Remember the questions. If you were to be taken into exile far away from here, what memories would you hold on to? And or what do you hope for in 2026? So remember, now if you were in exile, taken far away into a far-off country, what memories would you hold on to? And what do you hope for 2026? Okay, I don't want to stop your conversation. Can I ask that over coffee you carry on those conversations? Yeah? But does anyone want to share with us what their memory they would hold on to would be? Is anyone going to be brave enough to say what their memory they would hold on to would be if they were taken into exile? What would they hold on to? Yeah? Christmases with the family. Okay, it's a good one. Yeah? So the first bit? Weddings and friends, yeah. Anyone else? Okay, let's turn the other question. What hopes have people got for 2026? Stop the wars and make the world a fairer place. Good. Health. Health, yeah. Good health, yeah.
The environment.
Yeah, more aware of the problems with the environment. Yeah, yeah. I mean, sadly, most of us here are the generation that screwed over the climate. Yeah? That's what I say to my students at work. I work at the university and say to the students at work, you know, we've made the mistakes. It's down to you guys to come up with the solution. I work in engineering science and engineers will solve the world's problems, so I'm trying to encourage them to. Okay. Don't stop those conversations. Don't stop those thoughts. It's really good to share with each other, but let's now have our readings.
Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 7. Joy of the redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth into the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool. The thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. Amen.
I'm reading from John chapter 1, starting at verse 19. Now, This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about us, about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, not Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Thanks be to God for his word.
Thanks for the readings. So let me ask you a question. What is hope? What is hope? Well, it very much depends on what situation you find yourself in. I mean, if you're in pain, you will be hoping for release from that pain. If you're poor, maybe you would be hoping for more money to lift you out of poverty. If you look up in the word hope in the dictionary, this is what it says, if we can just have the slide up. A feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. A person or thing that may help save someone. Grounds for believing that something good may happen. Let's hold those thoughts and come back to them later. Now, to help us understand that reading from the prophet Isaiah today, we need to have a bit of history. See, after King Solomon, the nation of Israel split into two, and I think I've got a slide for that. Judah in the south and Israel in the north. David descended from Judah in the south, and the north had really supported Saul and his family. David had conquered Jerusalem and made it his capital, and the northern loyalty, really at that time, northern loyalty was practical rather than emotional. Solomon, during his reign, transformed Israel from a tribal society into a centralized state. And that required a centralized bureaucracy, professional army, reliable trade routes, and monumental building programs. And to support all of that work, Solomon brought about forced labor, but only to the northern kingdom. So the north had better farmlands, controlled many of the key trade routes, and produced more wealth. And yet, the taxes flowed to the south, to Jerusalem. And the temple and royal ideology were centered in Judah. So the northern wealth funded the southern prestige, and it caused a lot of resentment. Possibly what you hear in this country these days. To the northerners, the monarchy looked like Judah ruling everybody else. After Solomon died in 930 BC, his son Rehoboam became king. And so what happened then was the north reached out to him and said, please reduce these heavy tax burdens. But Rehoboam refused and even threatened to make them harsher. And this pushed many of the tribes to rebel. And the result of that was that the kingdom split, and we got a slide to show, I think, which says which kingdoms went where. Yeah. So then in the north, you've got 10 tribes. You've got Reuben, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun. We know a song about that. And in the south, you've got 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Although Simeon is in Judah, but actually Simeon was absorbed into Judah later. The southern kingdom, the capital was Jerusalem. But of course, the problem was that this split weakened both kingdoms and made them more vulnerable to future invasions. The city of Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom, experienced several notable sieges in its history. The one relevant to today's reading was an attack by the Assyrians, which started about 725, lasted about 3 years, when the northern kingdom was exiled. And it was at this time, with this background, that God gave his prophecy that we read today to Isaiah. Isaiah was mainly writing to the southern kingdom. And in this prophecy, God foretells of a coming exile and restoration to Judah. God's prophecy that was given by Isaiah was fulfilled some 150 years later when the southern kingdom was taken into exile under the Babylonians in 587 BC. For those in exile, can you imagine what it must have felt like? You've been deported to a foreign country, taken from your own land, and now in captivity in Babylon. This captivity lasted 70 years. And as the years go past, the generations pass. The people begin to forget what life was like back home. You grow older, more weary. You begin to lose your faculties of sight and hearing. You begin to wonder if you will ever see the beautiful homeland again. And when you look out from your captivity, all you can see around you is barren desert. And it was to those who are in the depth of despair and discouragement, and those who are so weary that they have given up on life, that God gave this picture of hope in Isaiah 35. Can we have to see another picture? I think we've got another 2 pictures. Okay, that's me on holiday. In Scotland, that is, actually. Okay, good memories. Next one. This is, I think this is Scotland and also Yorkshire. So when we go on holiday, I'm not going to bore you with another load of them, don't worry. When we go on holiday, we take pictures, don't we? But for these people in exile, there were no cameras. They could take no pictures. All they had was their memories. And the memories they held on to were of the beautiful cedars of Lebanon, the glorious slopes of Carmel, and the bountiful plains of Sharon. These were 3 of the memories they held on to, but these memories were now far away. And between them and where they are, they were now stretched that merciless desert. Would they ever see those beautiful scenes again? Would they ever see those beautiful scenes of the promised land that God had given them? And God wanted to say to them through Isaiah that the promised land was going to come to them. That desert that they shall see around them will blossom like a rose. And God said to them, I'm going to set you free. Those who are blind and can't see will again see the beauty of the promised land. And those who are deaf will hear the birds singing in the plains of Sharon. And those who are lame will walk out onto that beautiful land. But this was all going to be in the future. For now, they must grasp hold of this by faith. They must hold on to it with hope. Unlike English, where we only have one word for hope, Hebrew, there are three words. Can we see the next slide? They have three words. Techva. This imagery suggests that hope is not abstract. It's tangible, like a rope that secures us to God's promises. Similarly, our hope in Christ is what keeps us anchored when the storms rage. Jesus is the fulfillment of that call. He binds heaven and earth, humanity and divinity. Our hope is not a fragile optimism, but in the strong bond of God's covenant love. This is hope under tension, like a bowstring drawn tight, ready to release. It's eager anticipation, leaning forward into God's future. It reminds us that hope is dynamic and not static. We are called to live in a holy tension between the already of Christ's first coming and the not yet of his return. Our hope stretches us forward into eternity. The second word, yachval. This word reflects the posture of quiet resilience. It's not passive resignation, but active trust in God's timing, and his timing is perfect. We must learn to wait well. Like Israel waiting for a Messiah, we wait for Christ's return, not with despair, but with confident endurance. The third word, michva. This hope moves from waiting to resting. It's confidence anchored in God's character. In Hebrew, this trust means, it means implying putting your full weight, leaning your full weight onto something solid, something absolute, something resilient. In a world of uncertainty, we know that Christ has come. And we know that he will come again. And our hope rests in his unchanging faithfulness. The problem with our word hope is that sometimes in its common use, it means something much smaller than those Hebrew words. Often when we say hope, it's more like wish. Often say, oh, I wish, I hope something, but really we're saying wish. Most often we get hope wrong because we think of it as a verb, something we do. But for believers, hope is not a verb, it's a noun. It's best understood as something that we have. Miraculously, hope is someone that we have, and that someone is Jesus. John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus walking to him for his baptism, he doesn't say, well, you know, he's here now, you better try harder. He's here now, you better fix yourself before you come to Jesus. You've got to earn God's love. He just says, behold. Behold. To behold means to look, to pay attention, to take in the truth of who Jesus is. Our spiritual life begins not with what we do, but with what we see in Jesus. Sometimes we're so busy trying to fix ourselves, to manage our lives, carrying our guilt, trying to be good enough that we forget to simply look at Jesus. Today, the invitation is really simple. Behold, look up. John says, behold the Lamb of God. John doesn't say, behold the teacher, behold the healer, behold the rabbi. No, he says, behold the Lamb of God. When John called Jesus the Lamb of God, he was pointing back to the whole story of Scripture. It reminded the listeners of the Lamb of God who was provided to Abraham when he was about to sacrifice Isaac. Would remind him of the lamb that was the Passover lamb, whose blood was spread on the doorpost to save the people from the angel of death. It would remind the listeners of the daily sacrifices at the temple of the lambs offered as a sin offering. It would remind the listeners of the suffering servant led like a lamb to the slaughter, as was talked about in Isaiah's prophecies. John is saying that every lamb you've ever heard about, Every lamb that they had read about, every sacrifice, every symbol was pointing to Jesus. Jesus is not a lamb. Jesus is the lamb. The one that God promised, the one that God provided, who came for you and for me. John doesn't go on to say who covers sin, who excuses sin, who overlooks sin. He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is no sin too heavy for him, no past too dark, no shame too deep. Where the Lamb is present, sin loses its power. When you feel unworthy, remember your worthiness isn't the point. His sacrifice is. This Lamb, the Lamb of God, is not weak. He's not fragile. He's not defeated. In Revelation, we read that the Lamb is on the throne, worshipped by all creation, victorious over evil, the center of heaven's joy. The Lamb who died is the Lamb who reigns. And the Lamb who reigns is the Lamb who loves you. You can trust your life to him. Let's just take a moment and simply say in our hearts, Jesus, Lamb of God, I behold you. Let your heart rest in this truth. God provided the Lamb. The Lamb takes away your sin. The Lamb reigns forever. And you belong to him. This is our hope. He is our hope. Amen. Let's sing again. Just as I am, without one plea.
For me, and I thought.
Now of our prayers of intercession.
Just as I am. Just as I am. How often do we feel not ready, not good enough, not kind enough, not peaceful enough, not generous enough, just not fit for all we think we should be? I haven't read my Bible. I haven't prayed. I feel tired. I feel inadequate. I feel grumpy. I feel distracted. Just as I am. Now. This minute. How am I this morning? Jesus says, come, come as you are, hope for us all. We sang over 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, and oh to be like that, full to bursting, all the time. But I am just me, sometimes full, sometimes voiceless and wandering in the desert. This morning, just as I am, I come. I lift my eyes, I open my heart this morning. O Lamb of God, I come. Lord, you know each one of us and all that we're going through right now. We so often keep it hidden, but you know each one of us inside out. So before moving to prayers for the world, I wonder if we could begin by silently praying for the person either side of us. First, the person to our left. Lord, would you please bless them with your love and hope? And now the person sitting on our right. Lord, please shower them with your blessings too, blessings of love and hope. Now we think of the people who aren't here with us today, people we know who need the promise of your strength and hope in their lives right now. Families, friends, and those in our community. Turning ever outwards, we bring to you, loving God, the parched lands of our world, the countries and nations so thirsty, so desperate for justice and peace and hope. We hold before you Iran and its people in crisis right now. Also closer to home, the many Iranians who arrived here in Whitney seeking asylum, who are fearful for their family and friends still in Iran, facing danger and persecution. We think of Venezuela, the economic crisis, the power and the corruption, the drug cartels, and the ordinary people trying to feed their families and keep them safe. We think of Gaza and the Board of Peace which is being set up. We think of Ukraine, ongoing wars, ongoing conflict and suffering. Lord God, you promised Isaiah that the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. You promised that burning land will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs, that your glory and splendor will be seen. Come, Lord Jesus. John cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God. I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God." Yes, we say, he has already come, bringing his hope and light and strength. Let us strengthen our feeble hands and steady the knees that give way. Say to those with weak hearts, "Be strong, do not fear, your God will come." Remind us, dear Lord, refresh our memories of the many times over the years that you have met with us, answered prayers, and brought us great hope and joy. With John, we say, "I have seen and I testify to the goodness of God and his presence among us." Lord, help us share, all of us share the light that we have seen, the hope that we have found in Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks very much for those prayers. We sing our last song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died."
Glory died.
Arne's my life, my soul, my all. Let's bless each other with the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.